Turn on the recording. All right. We're in Heavenly Places, page 310. It's titled, Be Not Conformed. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, Stephen. Yeah. Not enough convocations. That's why I'm tired. And, okay, so this one is Be Not Conformed. And it starts off with Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And it says, And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay. There's so much to say on that, but I'll go. I'll continue. Because most of us are Christians here, and we understand perfectly well what that means. It's so sad other people in the world don't see that. But she says, Christ never leads his followers to take upon themselves vows that will unite them with those who have no connection with God. Between the worldly man and the one who is faithfully serving God, there is a great gulf fixed. Upon the most momentous subjects, God and truth and eternity, their thoughts and sympathies and feelings are not in harmony. Boy, I got to tell you, the timing on this is pretty amazing because, like I said, I don't read this stuff in advance. I don't want to. I'd rather have the Spirit flow when we're doing it. And last few months, actually the last year or so, the Lord has been impressing my heart to contact a man I used to hang with. And I didn't know how to get a hold of him until all of a sudden he contacted one of my children on Facebook because some of them are on there and I don't like that. But what are you going to do? You can't force adults to do things. Nor you can't really force children either. You just got to direct them in a proper path. They make their choices on their own. But, I mean, they're going to disobey or they're going to obey is what I mean. But anyway, make a long story short, I contacted him, left a message. He contacted me, left a message because, you know, it was just like answering machine tag for a while. And we finally had a time to talk yesterday. And, it was obvious. I mean, I talked to him, you know, a few months ago, and it was kind of cold the way he was responding, and I just thought, well, I'm just going to blow it off, and I kept having that burden. I want to try to share it with him. But you got to keep in mind who this guy is. I mean, the Bible says not to be friends with an angry man, and this guy, his favorite pastime was, you know, causing people to get stitches somewhere on their bodies, because he was a fighter. But he was a fun guy, you know, he used to work for me when I had that telemarketing thing. He was one of my employees. And we became friends and we hung out. And he's a drinker. And yesterday when we were talking, he asked me, so you haven't had a drink in a while? I says, yeah. His name is Ken. I says, yeah, Ken. And you know, I mean, I told you last time. It's been decades. You know, it's actually been more than decades because I was drinking as a Sunday keeper for a few years until the Holy Spirit revealed to me. He said, no. You don't want to be doing this anymore. I wasn't convicted yet. So I think for the first 3 or 4 years as a Sunday keeping Christian, I didn't see anything wrong with drinking because it's how I was raised in a Roman Catholic household. Everybody drank. Even the priest that came over drank. And so, you know, when I told him that, it was just like a switch turned off. Because he's a drinker and he doesn't want to hang with people that aren't. But I think it really upset him when, you know, he says, well, what have you been doing lately? And I says, well, I just got back from Kentucky and the Lord allowed us to gather some of the brethren together from around the world or around the country, actually. And four precious souls were baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And I guess he just doesn't want to hear stuff like that. And in other words, like she's saying here, his thoughts, his sympathies, his feelings, you know, we're not in harmony. Just like God's not going to be in harmony with Satan or anybody else that's walking with Satan. And so he made some excuse that he had to run in the bank real quick and he'll call me back in 10 minutes. And that was, 36 hours ago? 24, 25? I mean, that was a while ago. It's been a long 10 minutes. So I know what's happening here. It was just the Lord more or less telling me, he says, you tried, just plant those seeds, let somebody else water them now. And hopefully that'll happen. But you still got to try, you know. You got to do your best. You know, if you move by the Spirit, that is, because every now and then, it's just like with, you know, Sister Jean Cheatham. You know, sometimes you just get these burdens because you don't know what's going on in their lives. And I remember that's why their daughter emailed me yesterday or the day before or whenever I got it. I don't know. Fran forwarded it to me because Fran handles the email now. And, well, most of it anyway. And I had emailed them. Says, I emailed Sister Jean. I says, how you doing? You've been in my mind lately, coming up in prayer. I didn't know she was dying. You know, it's just how the Lord does that. But that's because she is in harmony, you know, with the Lord. And so we're all one family. This has happened many times with some of us where, you know, we'll call each other and say how things are going. Like Pastor Craig has a tendency to do that once in a while too. And I do that with him. He says, wow, it's funny you should call because that's exactly what we're going through right now, kind of a thing. Or the dreams, you know, you get that stuff too. And for those of you that are new, no, we're not claiming to be prophets. Look at the book of Job and you'll see that you're all going to have dreams. The Lord's going to send you dreams. It's the ones that are for a wider span than outside your own circle of friends, if you will, in regards to things of the world that the Lord will reveal to people that have the gift of prophecy. So anyway, she goes on. One class is ripening as wheat for the honor of God, the other as tares for the fires of destruction. How can there be unity of purpose or action between them? And I think this is, you know, the other toss in this coin is, I wanted Ken to get back into it. You know, I'm him being a trucker and all that, I can just see him going into the ministry full time and him and I hitting the road or something. But, you know, maybe that's not God's will. And obviously at this point, it's not. I mean, there's other people too that I knew that, could you imagine me and Craig? Because Craig was a trucker too. Or, you know, the people that went to, some of them that went to the West Coast were truckers. I mean, they know the roads. And so getting on the road and doing this kind of work, but what are we going to do on the road? Well, as soon as they kick us off the internet, the Lord will reveal that too. Or just going around planting little churches, like we were talking about Wednesday night, if you all recall. Well, not all of you were here, I don't know. But, well, maybe all of you were here. Because we usually have about the same on Wednesday night, I think. No, I don't know if we have the same. I never look at the numbers. Anyway, she says, we are to beware of indulging a spirit of bigotry and intolerance. We are not to stand aside from others in a spirit that seems to say, come not near to me, for I am holier than you. We are not to shut ourselves away from our fellow human beings, but are to seek to impart to them the precious truth that has blessed our own hearts. And that's where that burden comes from. Like Fran and I were just talking about this a little while ago. We have some loved ones that, you know, it's just, you know, like I was saying a minute ago, it would be nice if our people, the people that we love in our life, and even some of our kids, if they would experience some of the things we're experiencing. Some of the prayers have been getting answered recently. Some of the amazing blessings from the Lord and the help in these little areas and these big areas in life. It really, really is getting pretty amazing. And it would be nice if everybody that we love and stuff like that, just like with you guys, everybody that you love, would start to see what we're seeing. Because it's really, I mean, just like you see all this evil in the world, you know, with the homosexual marriage and the Allah is God thing, and or Jesus isn't God and the Holy Spirit doesn't exist stuff, and all these weird and disgusting evil lifestyles and doctrines. Satan is showing his hand. Well, it's because God's showing his. You know, you got to understand that. The devil's not going to act up unless he knows his time is short. And he sees the Father moving because he can see a lot clearer than we can because he's got the super intelligence. He knows the Bible inside out. And you know, too bad it's not going to help him when in the end he's still going to die and end up smeared on the sides of the pit, and that's what gets him most upset because he knows his end's speeding towards him. 1,000 years to him is like no big deal because he was from eternity. You know, he was looking at eternal life. He was already there. But, you know, as super intelligent as some beings can be, the term dumb as a bag of rocks comes to mind with stuff. I mean, how can you be that wise and that stupid at the same time? It just always, that's weird. But going on, she says, but if we are Christians, having the spirit of him who died to save men from their sins, we shall love the souls of our fellow men too well to countenance their sinful pleasures by our own pressure, or by our own presence, rather, and our influence. Such a course, so far from benefiting them, would only cause them to doubt the reality of our religion. We should be firmly rooted in the conviction that whatever in any sense turns aside from truth and justice in our association and partnership with men cannot benefit us and greatly dishonors God. And this is one of the reasons the people will turn on to run and walk away from you. Because if the dirty jokes don't make you laugh, if the beers don't tempt you, and if, this, you know, if the drugs and all the other things don't light you up, if you will, they don't, you know, they're not going to want to hang with you. They're not going to want anything to do with you because you want to honor God. They don't, period. They don't realize they're doing it. That's because the devil loves to keep that big old veil of deception in front of them. But that is the fact of the matter, because they really don't want to honor God. And their fruits bear witness to that fact. But she goes on, she says, the work of God for the salvation of the human family is the one work of supreme importance to be carried forward in our world. When men are willing to count all things but loss that they may win Christ, their eyes will be open to these things, or to see these things as they really are. Then they will turn away from the earthly attractions to the heavenly. That's where we got to be. And, you know, we're getting there. You know, we're, I would think most of us have already gotten to the point where, yeah, that's where we're at. But still, the enemy knows where to push our buttons and get us off the pad every now and then, or just wander on the path, you know, getting too close to the edges kind of thing. We got to get a little bit stronger. We got to get really, really serious. Like that one statement that I read the other night in here that Ellen White said in regards to, if you want to be part of that Gideon band, if you want to take part in that last, you know, the loud cry message, you got to be perfect in your walk, literally. And then she finishes here by sharing Malachi chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. It says, they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, of the obedient. In that day, when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. You know, in other words, no gray areas. It's going to be absolute crystal clear, especially when the plagues are falling. Because, I mean, it's already done at that point. I mean, the Gideon band is not going to go out there preaching anymore to try to bring people in, because it's just, no, whoever's just is going to remain unjust, or unjust, and then whoever's holy can remain holy. And so there's no preaching for salvation. It's going to be, if there's going to be any kind of preaching, it'll be for edification, like in a cave. You know, just talking to the, like if you happen to be blessed with being surrounded by a few people. They may not be all your loved ones either, well, that you grew up with kind of a thing, because the enemies are usually of your own household, and so 9 times out of 10, some of us aren't going to have mom and dad, brother, sister, husband, wife, or even your own children in that cave with you. But some of us will. And this is what always amazed me, too, when I see some of the people in this church family, especially, where some of your siblings, some of your parents, some of your loved ones, I mean, have embraced this truth. And I've seen a couple of our kids, but we got 8 of them, so we got a lot of work ahead of us. But haven't seen any of my siblings at all. I got 10 siblings. And I've planted, you know, a whole field of seeds there. So did my wife. And she's got a bunch of siblings, too. Not as many. But, you know, between us, there's, I think, 15 siblings. And, but when it's all said and done, we're in that cave, and we're going to be in there just glorifying the Lord, even if we're all by ourselves, because the preaching's done. Just waiting on Him. So I hope and pray you were blessed. Be back in a minute.